not getting at. I can say whatever it is I want to say, but it will never change the fact that I am James Redfern Sr.'s son. It's in my blood. You understand? Amen. So I know who I am. I'm his son. So doesn't matter what you tell me. I know I'm his son. The same way we need to know that we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. It doesn't matter what anybody say, whatever they do, you must know who you are and stand. Matter of fact, the Word of God tells us, having done all to stand, you stand. Amen. Learn how to resist the lie. Learn how to resist deception. Learn how to resist temptation. And anything that would try to move you away from who you really are. And the Word of God tells us who we are. Hallelujah. That's the reason the Word of God tells us, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Because if you don't say so, somebody is going to try to convince you otherwise. Hallelujah. Now, let's go to the book of Galatians, third chapter. Galatians chapter 3. In Galatians chapter 3, I won't read all this, but I want to read you a couple of verses in Galatians chapter 3, beginning at verse 13. It says, Christ, you see that? Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. Amen. Well, somebody might say, well, Pastor, he's talking about the Jews there, isn't he? They are included in this, but it's not limited to them. Matter of fact, in this particular verse, two verses, he's talking to the Gentiles. So let me read verse 13 again, and then I'll read 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Verse 14, that the blessing, you see that? That the blessing of Abraham might come upon who? Who? That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Glory to God. Well, you see, John tells us, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent the only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, you need to be excited about your salvation. Let me say that again. You need to be excited about your salvation. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, we won't go there because it will take too long. But the curse of the law is found in Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. You can read it at your convenience. But let the redeemed of the Lord say so, and we need to say so, but we also need to know what we've been redeemed from. We need to know that. We need to know what we have been redeemed from. We need to know what Jesus Christ was delivering us from hanging on that cross. Amen. Well, we've been talking about it, and I'll mention it again. One thing we've been redeemed from is spiritual death. And we can say with confidence, I'm a child of God. That is, if we have received Jesus Christ into our life as our Lord and Savior, and we've given our life to Him, we can say, I'm born again. I am a child of God. We need to say that. Those words need to come out of our mouth. I am a child of God. All righty. We in Galatians, right? Here's something we need to say and remind ourselves. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live how? Okay, don't go too far. I live by faith. Y'all getting ahead of me, but I'll catch up. I live by faith. Word of God tells us we walk by faith and not by sight. We're in the flesh. In other words, we live in a fleshly body. But we're not to walk in the flesh. We're to walk by faith, knowing who we are. That we have been crucified with Christ. You know, the old me, all my sins and everything was hanging on the cross with Jesus. He took it upon himself. And I received his finished work. And that's the reason I can boldly say, I am now crucified with Christ. The devil have lied to some of you and told you you're not worthy. You ain't this. You ain't that. You need to tell the devil to shut up and remind him that I'm crucified with Christ. I'm in him and he's in me. Because you know what the devil comes after? Your faith. If he can get you to doubt, he can whip you. Yeah, if he can get you to doubt, he can whip you in some area. Let's read on. Say, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me. Everybody say, he loves me.
He loves.
Say it again.
He loves.
Say it again.
He loves.
Now look at somebody and tell them, he loves you.
He loves you.
Tell somebody else. Brothers and sisters, you got to understand something. I'm not standing up here trying to burn up time. Because there's some things we got to get down on the inside of us. Each and every one of us in this sanctuary and those watching too, you know what words come out of your mouth all during the week. And you know if they were good words of faith, or words of doubt. Bible says God loves me. That sells it for me. Hallelujah. All right. All right. I got to find where I left off. All right. It says, last verse, that last sentence, that it says, God who loved me and what? Gave himself for me. He loved me and he gave himself for me. So we got to understand then, God has given us, those of us that are born again have received him, we have eternal life. Amen. He redeemed us from the powers of darkness. Yes, he did. Now, what else did he redeem us from? He redeemed us from sickness. Now, some folk would want to argue with you about that. Well, I can't accept that because there's too much sickness going on in the world. You know, if God did that, then why don't he clean out the hospitals and heal everybody on the earth? Well, again, we walk by faith and not by sight. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God, and acting on what we have heard. And we must be willing, listen to me, when you know who you are, you're not going to back down. We must be willing to fight the good fight of faith. Because your body may be telling you one thing when you are believing God for something else. But you got to continue to stand. You know, there's a couple of reasons that come to mind right now, to maybe others, as to why some people go to heaven early. And it's easy for people to say, because they don't have an answer, to say, well, you know, a little two-year-old child that died, well, Jesus took him. Or someone passed at a young age, well, Jesus took him. And that there can be a number of reasons for that. But like you've heard me always say, God is good. Didn't we just read that? Amen. But a couple of things can happen. Sometimes a person can get tired of standing. Remember, the Bible tells us, having done all to stand, we're to do what? We ought to stand. And sometimes people get tired of standing and they give up. And they go ahead and release themselves. And I've heard people say this. Pastor, I'm just tired. I just believe I'll go on. I've heard people say that. Another reason is sometimes folk get a glimpse of the other side. You listening to me? Sometimes they get a glimpse of the other side. And they decide, I like what I see, and I don't want to go back. I like what I see. Now, there could be some other reasons. Those are two I want to bring out to you. Sometimes folks just decide, I'm ready to go. But then there are others that will stay and fight. Say, I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. I'm not giving up. I'm going to stand on God's word. Amen. Because we have been redeemed according to the Bible from sickness. You're still here. Real quick, I'm going rather quick because we've got some other things we got to do. But upstairs, I need you to work with me. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. Put it on the screen for me. Isaiah 53, verse 5. And we're just going to the Word of God. Is that all right? Amen. It says, but he was Jesus. Or is Jesus. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And what? By his what? By his stripes we are healed. Glory be to God. And now in 1 Peter, Peter refers back to this verse. In 1 Peter 2:24 says it this way, by his stripes we were healed. Well, now if we were healed, that means it's a done deal. Now, some folks may not believe me, so go ahead and put 1 Peter 2:24 up there. Amen. We're just going to show you what the Bible says. 1 Peter 2:24. Listen, who himself, that's Jesus, bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that's the cross, that we, having died to sin, glory to God, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. It's a done deal. Jesus took care of it for us. Hallelujah. Now, since we're traveling, let's go to Matthew chapter 8, verse 16. Matthew chapter 8, verse 16 on the screen, please. When evening had come, they brought to him being Jesus, many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed. Does that say some that were sick? Oh, all that were sick. And he healed all who were sick. Look at verse 17. Matthew 8:17. That it might be fulfilled. Remember we read in Isaiah? Jesus said that it might be fulfilled. All that he did was fulfilling what Isaiah prophesied, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our what? Our infirmities, and what else did he do? He bore our sicknesses. Glory to God. So we are to stand. We are to spend time with God, seek wisdom from God, because sometimes we're sick because of stuff we do. Am I right? Now, you know, you're putting stuff in your body that you know you shouldn't put there. You know, you need to stop that. I mean, God is still your healer. So sometimes we just need to know some things. Lord, I thank you. You are my healer. But I thank you, Lord, for revealing this to me. Okay, I'm going to change that. I need to do this and I need to do that. You know. Remember, we have the Holy Spirit, right? And he will do what? Lead us, and he'll guide us. He is our helper. He is our helper. In Psalm 91, it says, God says, with long life will I satisfy thee and show thee my salvation. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. If you are traveling somewhere and you don't really know how to get there, what you do, I start to say pull out your map. That's history. That's what I used to do all the time when I was in the service. I traveled by the paper maps, unfold them. But now we got GPS. But you want to turn your GPS on and follow the direction. Because you don't know where you're going. You don't know where you're going. So you follow the directions on your GPS and it will take you to your destination. If we follow the directions of the Word of God, and be sensitive to his voice, it will take us to our destination. That was a good place to shout right there. Glory be to God. Praise God, praise God. I got to quit here in just a little bit. Let's read. Let me see where I want to go from here. Are you getting anything out of this yet? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I'm jumping around a little bit here. All right, let's go to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew 10. Now, in Matthew chapter 10, beginning at verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans. These are specific instructions that Jesus given them. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And what else did he tell them? Verse 8. He did what? He said, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Hallelujah. We have been redeemed from sickness. We just have to lay hold on it. Amen. And finally, some folks have a problem with this, but we've been redeemed from poverty. You hear me? We've been redeemed from poverty. God does not want you poor. God does not want you not able to pay your bills. God does not want you to be in a place where there's not enough food to eat or you don't have any food to eat. And I know what some folks say, well, Pastor, if that's the case, why are there so many hungry people in the world? That's the reason we, the church, must preach the gospel and help feed the hungry. Amen? Because remember, we are God's hands and God's feet in the earth. Jesus says, I'm going away. But you're going to do greater works. You're going to do the greater works because you're going to preach the gospel around the world. You're going to feed the hungry. You're going to heal the sick. That is the gospel, folks. Amen. But I've heard that question asked many, many times. If God doesn't want me poor, or don't want us poor, why are there so many people struggling? But God doesn't want you sin in either. But there's a lot of folk doing it. Jesus came to save the world, but not everybody saved. But God, it's God's will that they be born again. Matter of fact, Word of God tells us that it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to eternal life. That's the will of God, yet there are still many, many unsaved people. And they're poor people today, but that's not God's will for them. Amen. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18, it tells us that Jesus came to preach the gospel to the poor. Well, why would he preach the gospel to the poor? To give them hope. To let them know, listen, there's a way out. If you give your life to me, and if you will walk according to my word, build your faith, you don't have to live that way anymore. Hallelujah. And I could go on and on. I don't have time. But here's the thing. Listen to me as I get ready to close. If you want to walk in the true blessings of God, you're going to have to do it His way. And you're going to have to be willing to make some changes. Amen. You don't cheat and steal and then give a testimony of how God blessed you financially. That's not God's way. I said, that's not God's way. Amen. But God has a way, and we have to be willing to change, make the necessary change, do it His way, and our lives will be blessed. I'm not saying you're going to become a millionaire. I didn't say that, or a billionaire. But I tell you one thing, God will abundantly meet every need you have. Amen. It's not a sin to be rich if you got it the right way and you still have a giving heart. And if God speaks to you to give something, don't argue with Him. Just go ahead and do it. Amen. Sometimes God is telling us to give something and we're talking about get thee behind me, Satan, and it's not Him. Satan don't want you to give anybody anything. He go by the let them starve rule. But our God is good. So let the redeemed of the Lord do what? Hallelujah. You may not have two red sins, but you can lift your hand and say, Heavenly Father, I thank you that all my needs are met. And I thank you, Father, for opening doors for me, opening the right doors for me. Hallelujah. I just thank you for doing that, Father, because here's the thing. The mindset we should have is to be in God's perfect will. Because understand something. I am closing, but I won't say this. Understand something. The devil can offer you what seems like a good deal also. But you need to be prayed up, worded up enough to be able to discern. This is not God. If I go this route, this is not God. I want to always remain in God's perfect will. Amen. You may have two job offers, and one offer may be twice as much as the other one, And automatically you want to gravitate towards the higher price, but you need to pray. You need to seek God, because God may be in the smaller. And the devil may be in the larger one, so that he can trip you up. I'm not saying that's the case all the time. Y'all follow me, right? What I'm saying is we need to seek to stay in God's will. We have the promise. So if God leads us to go to the lesser, you better believe your needs are going to be abundantly met. And the lesser may wound up being more than the other. Always put God first. Will you tell somebody that for me, please? Tell somebody else. Tell them this. I'm closing. I really am. Tell them this. Say, pray about everything. Hallelujah. I'm sure you have some testimonies. Well, I don't know if you call them testimonies, but you have some experiences in the past where you went by visually what you saw, what you heard when it wasn't God. I've been there, done that, and I've paid the price for it. My wife's laughing because she knows I'm telling the truth. I've paid the price. I don't know why I'm not off of this yet, but I'm trying. Let me stop trying to be like somebody else. Oh no, my neighbor just bought a brand new Mercedes. I can't let him outdo me. All right, you go ahead. Go ahead and buy your Mercedes that you can't afford. In about a month or two, you'll be waving bye-bye as they drag it off. And then you'll cry, Lord, why'd you let that happen to me? And God said, I didn't tell you to get that car to begin with. Put God first. Don't the word tell us to walk in the Spirit, and we will not fulfill what? The lust of the flesh. Amen. Well, glory to God. Lord, can I quit now? Oh, glory to Father, we thank you for your word. We know your word will never return to you void. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Folks, the reason I say some things that I do, because they are popping up in my spirit, and I know that someone needs to hear what I'm saying. It may not apply to you. For example, the Mercedes thing. That principle may not even apply to you, but it applies to somebody. And God wants to keep them from making a mistake, but to seek Him. Father, we thank you, and we give you glory for your holy word. Thank you for your love. for us. Thank you for Jesus, who shed in his blood for us. And I thank you. If you're watching us by way of the internet, and if you have not received Jesus Christ in your heart as your Lord and Savior, I want to extend this invitation to you right now to give your life to Christ, to walk with him. He loves you. He died for you. He rose again for you. Hallelujah. I want to pray this prayer with me. Wherever you are, wherever you may be watching this service, if you say, yes, Pastor, I'm ready to give my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm willing to make him my Lord and my Savior. Pray this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you came down from heaven and that you live here in the earth and you were crucified, hung on a cross, and there you died. But you rose again on the third day for me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you rose from the dead. And I believe that you are now seated at the right hand of God the Father for me. And I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. Forgive me for my sin. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me, setting me free. And now I boldly proclaim, I am now a child of God. I've made Jesus Christ my Lord and my Savior. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, contact us and let us know. We want to rejoice with you for what God has done and is doing in your life. Praise the name of the Lord. If there's anyone out there, you're sick in your body and you say, I need healing. I want to be healed in my body. I'm asking you right now to release your faith to receive your healing. Father, in the name of Jesus, touch them from the top of their heads to the sole of their feet, bringing healing and health to their body. And we give you the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Praise God. So glad you joined us today. Amen. And we look forward to you being back with us again in another service. Have yourself a great day. Amen. Now, while I'm standing here, I want to extend the same invitation to anyone that's here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads for a moment, please. Hallelujah. If you're here and you say, Pastor, if I died right now, if I left this earth right now, I do not have the assurance that I would go to heaven. I do not have the assurance that I would see Jesus. But I want to change that right now. I want to be born again. I want to know that I'm right with God.